This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia, where he also directs UVA's Center for Politics. His most recent book is The Year of Obama, now available in paperback. Larry, of course, is one of our most valued political analysts. And usually, Larry, we get into different cycles where there's a throw the bums out mentality. But it usually doesn't happen in the primary season, and just in the past few days, we've seen it in both parties. Out in Utah, Senator Bennett not even getting on the ballot for the Republican primary, and now Alan Mollahan, who's been in Congress for almost 30 years, easily defeated in the Democratic primary by State Senator Mike Oliverio, a 12-point margin. What's the message here for incumbents, regardless of your stripe?
The message is you'd better take your primaries and conventions seriously this year. There is enough anti-incumbency fever out there to threaten at least the incumbents that are damaged by one thing or another. Bennett, of course, had become controversial in Utah because of his vote for the bank bailout. And Alan Mollahan, I like to say his middle name is ethics problems. He's had so many over the years, and one came out the day before the election, which certainly didn't help him. But it's not just them. You know, I've been noticing in some of these early primaries, and we've just started the intensive part of the primary season, which will stretch all the way to the end of August. I've noted that even incumbents who are running against candidates who don't have a name, haven't spent much money, haven't been out there campaigning, those no-name candidates are actually getting a third of the vote. So that tells you something, that people are going in and they're saying, let's see, who's the incumbent? I'm voting for the other guy. And you're right when you say we always have these seasons. We have years when incumbents can't be beaten, and we have those years when, as I like to put it, we throw the bums out, throw a new set of bums in, and until they're thrown out a few years hence. And, you know, that's not a bad way to run politics.
Well, Larry, obviously we won't know the answer to this next question until November, but is this actually a good thing for the party of the incumbent that got knocked off? If they're so unpopular, does it actually improve their chance of holding the seat if you have someone who's not saddled with all this Washington baggage on the ballot come November?
It can be. It depends on the circumstances. Had Senator Bob Bennett been renominated, he would have been reelected easily. Had Congressman Alan Mollahan been renominated, I think there was an excellent chance he would have been defeated in the fall. In fact, it's no secret that this morning Republicans are disappointed about the fact that Mollahan was not renominated. However, that is still a competitive district. That West Virginia first voted for McCain 57% to 42 for Obama back in 2008. So it is conservative territory. Usually it votes Democratic, lower than the presidency, but we'll see. I think this could be a competitive year in places like that. And when you get an incumbent out of the way, you also take away all the advantages of incumbency, all the money they spend, the taxpayer money promoting themselves, and they've got 19 full-time staff aides that are really helping them get reelected, and the district offices and all the rest of it. You take that away. So I think it's going to be a competitive race.
How scared should Arlen Specter be next week? His primary's on Tuesday, and according to the latest polls, his challenger, Joe Sestak, and of course Specter's now a Democrat, may even have the lead at this point.
Specter's in deep trouble. A month ago, every survey showed him cruising to renomination, which made sense at the time because after he switched parties, he was guaranteed the support of President Obama, who said he'd campaign for him. Vice President Biden's been out there going again. And, of course, Governor Rendell, Democratic Governor Ed Rendell of Pennsylvania, has put his weight behind Specter as well. So they're all very shocked to find that Joe Sestak is at least even with Specter, if not a little bit ahead. Why did it happen? It happened because Specter, his past caught up with him. Congressman Sestak was smart enough to run an ad that essentially just reruns the George W. Bush television ad endorsement of Specter from 2004, in which Bush says, Specter's one of us. Spector cast all of these conservative votes. We can count on Erland Spector. Well, you can imagine how that sells with Democrats. It doesn't sell at all.
Another primary that's not getting quite as much of attention, but could be equally bad for the incumbent, is in Arkansas next Tuesday as well with Blanche Lincoln. She's not only a prime target of Republicans this year, but also of the more liberal wing of the party. Do you get the sense, Larry, that while in most years there's a rush to the center as to who's more the consensus candidate, this year both parties are kind of focused on ideological purity?
Well, there's some of that ideological purity going on, but I think a lot of it is just anti-incumbent, anti-Washington. It's an electorate that is upset and unhappy. When electorates get surly, they tend to take it out against incumbents for one reason or another. Sometimes it can be from the left, sometimes from the right, sometimes it's almost non-ideological. So, you know, on the whole, I would say that Blanche Lincoln is in real trouble. She could lose the primary, but I think she's got a better chance of winning the primary and then losing the general. But I wouldn't put much money on her being back in the Senate next January.
We talked about specific issues with Alan Mollahan, Arlen Specter, and even Senator Bennett out in Utah. Is there a general issue you think that's really fired up the base? We've obviously seen the Tea Party movement. There's deficits, there's stimulus, there's health care. But is there one galvanizing factor that's made this such a huge anti-incumbent year?
Usually when you have an anti-incumbent year, it's because of a combination of things that has made voters unhappy. And that's what we've got here. People are unhappy about the bad economy. They're unhappy about what they see as overspending, too many taxes, the great national debt that keeps growing. Certainly there was a lot of opposition, still is, to the health care reform. So you've got a lot of reasons. And in the Democratic Party, of course, support for health care reform often leads to having challenges from the left. Although I have to say, in the West Virginia case, Congressman Mollahan was defeated by a Democrat who attacked him from the right, who said he shouldn't have voted for Obama's health care reform plan. So when you are in an anti-incumbent year, when people are unhappy, incumbents are vulnerable to attacks from the right, the left, the middle, and out of right and left field.
And so the final question, Larry, is what's the best strategy for an incumbent? You mentioned the advantages inherent in the office with the taxpayer dollars they can use to promote themselves and just the name recognition they've got. But in terms of all these different barrage of attacks coming against them, how do they deflect them, if at all?
The easiest way for an incumbent to do it is, of course, to use the war chest. They have usually built up millions of dollars in their campaign reelection fund, and what they need to do is to define their little-funded, lesser-funded opponent early. If they do that, they can get renominated and reelected. If they sit back and look at the early polls and say, oh, well, I'm ahead 20 or 30 points, I don't need to worry, they could be very shocked on Election Day.
Well, we've already seen a couple shocked on Election Day, and if that's any indication, we're going to see several more before the end of the summer. Larry, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Always enjoy it.
Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia, where he also directs UVA's Center for Politics. He is the author most recently of The Year of Obama, now available in paperback. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.